Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1553. This is your host, Danny Pena. And also, I have here one of the GTR members, Rian Emmanuel Pena. What's up, Ri?
Hello out there. I'm a little passionate today, is what I'll say. So thank you for recording a special episode, because there's a lot going on right now and a lot of feelings going around that, of course, we are not immune to and want to talk about it.
Yeah. So by the time people will hear this episode, there might be some updates from other places, from companies that layoffs and shutdowns, and we don't know, because this was recorded on 6/16 of this year, of 2026, and this is pre-recorded. We plan to release this because, you know, it's Father's Day coming up and we're going to be traveling and so on. So stay tuned. We're probably going to have more episodes coming up in the future about different topics. But I think this topic is very, very important, because there's been a lot of the conversations of a lot of things that's been happening at Xbox, of changes and potential closures of studios. As of right now, there's no confirmation. We're just hearing rumors and so on. So let's see what happens by the time this episode comes out. We have no idea. Anything else you want to say, Reed, before we start this conversation?
No, just on that bit, I'll say things that Nick is always sad. And I really hope that there's a way for not only the IP that we have seen and future IP that we could see from a lot of the studios that are being talked about right now survives, also the people making it. And the people making the stuff is what's really special. And they deserve to have an opportunity to keep creating art that can change lives. And I hope they all find a way to do that. That's all I can really say on that bit. You know, we're not in the boardrooms making decisions, but people deserve to be able to make things, and I hope they can.
100% agree on that. And here's the thing. This is not an Xbox problem. This is not a PlayStation problem. This is an industry overall problem that we've been seeing this now for like the past couple of years. And that's something that I've been seeing chatters at. It's one company's fault that's happening and all this stuff. And I think just the industry has just been changing in real time. The country that we're living in also has been changing around the world. Everywhere has just been changing, you know. So Ree hit me up earlier today and she's like, hey, I'm inspired to talk about this topic. So Ree, can we start how this came about? And then from there, we'll have this discussion.
Yeah, I'll start with a couple of things and then circle back. So there's been a lot of content and discussion around how much video game development costs versus how much it earns, right? So the cost of, let's say, AAA games, which are the big, huge, big productions, hundreds of people's teams long, or hundreds of people sized teams and years long productions, getting into 3, 5, 7 years long production timelines. Those are the Halos, the Gears, is the Final Fantasies, you know, well, maybe not even Final Fantasies, they're pretty quick these days, but those are those big, huge games that everybody will recognize. And they cost a lot of money. I remember, what was it, maybe a couple years back, there was a report that I can't even recall which game. Was it a Call of Duty that it costs, was it $300 million to make? Am I getting that right? Was it 300? Was it 500? The sad part is it could have been either. These games cost a lot. And there's been a really great recent YouTube video from Jason Schreier of Bloomberg. And he kind of broke down how AAA budgets get that big. If you haven't seen that, you should go check it out. He does some napkin math and estimates on why these games are so expensive to make. And the long and short of it is really it's because they're made with US-based developers or developers in cost of living centers that are really expensive. They have to hire lots of people, and those people earn lots of money to make these games, rightfully so, and their salaries are really high. The longer it takes to make a game with lots of people, the more salaries you're paying out. And that's not even including if you have a studio physical presence. That's not including the actual building or the cost to service that building and utilities. It's not including any equipment that you're getting for the people or any advertising that you're doing. Marketing budgets cost a lot for big, big games. People expect them to be in commercials, on billboards, to do partnerships with big food companies. Like, all of this stuff gets really expensive really quickly. And if a game costs, let's say, $70, in order to recoup $300 million worth of investment costs and then make a profit, you see where the math starts to break down if you don't make huge, huge sales numbers. Not to mention that a lot of these games are considered to be long-term services, so like either live service games or even if it's free to play, there's additional development costs after it's released that they still have to sustain. And it's tough, especially when you get smaller teams. So it's hard for big games to earn a lot of money. Sometimes they don't, but when they do, they earn big. It's a high risk, high reward situation. When you come to smaller teams, we're talking AAA down to AA or even AA down to indie. If they have a big publisher, these games still cost, let's say, tens of millions to make. Maybe not hundreds, but tens. And it's very reasonable for a game, let's say, like Ori and the Blind Forest, to cost tens of millions of dollars to make. The development is still very expensive. That team in particular, Moon Studios, is international, so maybe the salaries are a little bit different, but it still has full production support, still has full marketing support. It was still part of Microsoft's exclusive offerings for a while, and they definitely did all of the marketing for that game. And I knew that because I was part of the team, full disclosure. And I don't know the budget stuff for that game specifically, but I know that it's hard for games of that size to earn a profit depending on their sales numbers and depending on their list price. And when you add in services like Game Pass or GOG or any kind of subscription service that is giving a discount for buying those games, their cut is even smaller for the studio. So just all of this to say, without throwing a bunch of numbers at anybody, the math is hard to make sense for small games. If a game wins a lot of awards, like Inori, like A South of Midnight, like even Balatro, it's tough for that game to make enough of a splash for that to translate into sales numbers. And if it doesn't translate into sales, doesn't matter how many awards it wins, it didn't make money for the company. So there was a tweet from somebody that I follow on X or Twitter. It said, the sad reality is most gamers aren't buying new games, big or small. It's been shown that in stats year on year, and they'd love to see numbers on how many new games are purchased that are AAA versus not, but they bet they don't favor the smaller studio. And I tend to think they're right. We have seen some reporting recently from different analysts. We've had some on the show. If you haven't checked out those episodes of GTR, you should definitely scroll back a little bit and listen to our interview with Matt Piscatella, which we get into a little bit of this on that episode. But essentially, people play a few games a year and they don't branch out. And this isn't people like us or people listening to the show. This is people who have a limited budget, limited time, and limited attention put on gaming, and they'll grab a few that they know that they'll like, and then they don't really expand out of that. That's just typical broader gaming consumer behavior. What that leaves us with, the enthusiasts, the people that are cheering on these alternate games and different points of view, and I've never seen anything like that before, and all the stuff that gets us really excited at Summer Game Fest, whether it's indie or AA or some AAAs that are taking a big swing. It leaves them with a smaller and smaller audience and smaller profit. And the trouble is, a big studio, a big publisher, can't sustain studios that don't make money forever. Sometimes, and I think a formula that Xbox might have been toying with, this is purely speculation. This is absolutely not at all what I know to be happening because I don't have that kind of visibility into Xbox. I never have. Honestly, I don't want it because it's a lot of stress.
It's a lot of stress, yeah. Agreed.
But what I suspect the formula that they were going for could have been is we get a big bunch of big AAAs. Those are our money makers. And we take swings on indie darlings or maybe more artistic or creative visions that are not what we're usually going to see annualized. And those can be the ones that go out and get people's attention. They win awards. They give emotional responses. And those give us prestige. So we earn our prestige with the really hardcore enthusiasts with, yes, our typical annual franchises, but also these really beautiful, expressive, unique points of view in games that are AA or indie. And then those get funded and supported and buoyed by these big heavy hitters that everybody knows will make money. I don't know if that broke down somewhere after the pandemic. A lot of gamers went back to their daily lives, their daily stressors, and even now additional stresses with the cost of everything going up and people losing jobs, which we'll get to in a second. That has driven folks away from experimenting and branching out and spending more money on this hobby. Rightfully so. You got to do what you got to do. And again, I think somewhere along the line, the math breakdown happens. And the big heavy hitters can't support this many smaller projects for a publisher anymore. And it's heartbreaking, but I think it is a reality that we will have to figure out how to get through. And Danny, something I would love if we can take a second, and I won't spend a lot of time on this, but I would love to just kind of explain, this is not only happening in games, and we see it every day because the people around us live in Hollywood, right? Like, we're in Los Angeles. There is a Variety article that went up today. this is by Gene Mattis. It says, Hollywood's mass exodus, why film and TV production is fleeing L.A., and what can be done about it. I won't go into too many details, but basically they compare Los Angeles now to what has happened before in Cleveland and in Detroit, where they used to be big manufacturing cities, then manufacturing business changed, and the demand changed, and those cities have now sort of become ghost towns. And I'm not saying anything negative about Cleveland, which I've lived in before, or Detroit, which is a wonderful place. They've had to adapt. They had an entire industry kind of leave their city, and they had to figure out what they were about. The same thing is happening in Hollywood. We've seen productions move out to states like Atlanta, states like Georgia, or to places like Canada, and even they are starting to lose that additional business. I think, what is it I saw? Since 2022, all the additional peak that happened in Atlanta, Georgia, from people leaving Los Angeles to film things in Atlanta, that's down 50% from its peak in 2022. So they got a bunch of LA people, and then half of them left and moved to overseas production. So many films are made in the UK and Australia and other places, and more, like Avengers is being made in London, not here. And so that gets felt throughout an entire city, not just one industry. It's not just Hollywood. It's not just production. And keep in mind, a lot of Hollywood uses Unreal. So this is very, very big crossover with gaming. But it's the florist who does all the flowers for the sets. It's the restaurant that is right next to the set or right next to the studio. And then all of the crew members go there to eat for lunch. It's like the diner down the street. It's the prop houses. It's the sound people. It's the printers who make all of the paper. It's manufacturing. Like, it's literally so many businesses that support this one big thing start to fall like dominoes when that big thing leaves. And so we're feeling it across many industries. Actually, Danny, I found this stat here.
I'll put it up right now.
From uscareerinstitute.edu. It's an infographic, and we've broken it down a little bit here. Again, not going to spend too much time on this because it's not gaming specifically, but it shows the fastest and growing and the fastest declining industries in the U.S. And there's some industries like manufacturing that are clearly leaving the states for lots of reasons. I'm not going to get political. But then there's stuff like financial services that are getting declines as well. Leisure and hospitality, interestingly, is going up. Healthcare going up. You know, people are always getting sick. Professional businesses and specifically like loans maybe are going up. But things like mining get split in half. Part of it gets better, part of it doesn't. Things like agriculture, forestry, part of it's getting better, part of it isn't. So, like, there's lots of changes happening, both positive and negative, in the U.S. So don't lose hope that it can't get better, because honestly, like, Danny, if you go to, like, the second slide of this, the fastest growing industries, information services is actually doing okay. You know, libraries are actually getting more popular. People are kind of returning to, you know, analog learning, and photography and illustration is actually going up from independent writers and authors. So, like, there are some things that are good that we can look to and champion. And maybe some of these developers can find a way to do that pivot if they have the support, which really comes down to us, right? We have to talk about these smaller studios and projects. We have to go support them. We have to tell people about them. And down the line, if we want them to succeed and to stay in business, we have to buy their stuff. It can't just be talk, and it can't just be awards and accolades and this was so beautiful or this was so different. If you really believe that and you believe it should exist and you believe they should continue to make it, go buy their stuff. Give them money. That's what they need to keep going. Publicity and notoriety and word of mouth is all amazing. That's what we work to try to do for people, for our clients. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, if you don't purchase the stuff they make, they can't keep making it. So I guess my rant is really just put your money where your heart is, because businesses are only responding to your actions. That's what we're seeing. And we've been seeing for a while. And it's now just finally coming to a head.
Yeah. And by the way, Reed, great discussion.
Sorry.
There.
No, it's all good. My spirit.
It's all good. But also another thing too is everything is getting expensive, especially where we live in Los Angeles and, you know, California and the United States, because we also have listeners and viewers from outside the United States. It's getting really expensive over here. So because of that, people are going to decide, like, hey, should I buy a game, or I should use that money to save or pay my bills or other things, because they just can't afford to buy products, like, for our discussion, games. Uh-huh. They're not going to do that. So that's something that's just getting difficult and more difficult. And look, even if you have a marketing campaign hyping this product up, most of the time, it's not going to convince people to buy the product. I think we have to figure out other ways to spread the word about a game that's really good. But what is it that we could do to get that client? Is it the price? Lower it down? Is it
people who haven't heard of it? Like
that too.
We need
to
be thinking outside of the people who already know about all these games. Bring more people in. Yeah. Always, like, you want to just always be bringing more people to the party. That's how you expand and how you find the pockets of people who will be really into Out of Words or like super into, what is it, Dice? What is it, the dice game that WoW was just talking about? Or, you know what I mean? Like you got to find the people who will be obsessed with this thing and support it and be really excited because it feels like it was made just for them. Danny, your coverage on Sonic Pico Park has exploded because the people who want to see that are so excited they're finally getting a game. So let's go find more of them.
Yeah, that and look, we had this discussion. I'm going to play it on this episode.
No.
Yeah, you know what
no
it is?
Relief coming.
And I get that part, but also I feel like a lot of us are going after the same crowd, the same group of people. And I think it's time for us to figure out, look, Grand Theft Auto, of course, you're going to get a lot of people that are not gamers. They're just going to buy because it's Grand Theft Auto. But I think we also have to figure out a way how to get the new crowd that are not listening to Gamertag Radio or watching your show. How can we convince them to also buy a game?
Yeah, I mean, just like, for me, it's like you just got to make the party cool. Like, it just has to be cool, and then they want to come in, like, and that's all we can control, right?
Yeah. I think it's all about communication, man. Yeah. You know, like, that's something that Rhea and I have been talking to a lot of studios is about the messaging. How can we get a new group of people to buy your product?
Mm-hmm. But what? I agree.
Yeah.
But the problem is, which is what we've been alluding to, is
okay, let's say I'm not a quote unquote big gamer,
mm-hmm.
and I've not bought hardware in a while. You cannot afford to buy an Xbox or a PlayStation or build a PC right now.
I mean, even responsible,
and that's the point.
Yeah, yeah. That's
not responsible.
That's a different conversation, of course. Yeah, but what about if they do have, like, I don't know, Switch 2 or an older console, like. Well, exactly.
A lot of family.
Like, you know how many people are going to play all those third-party games for the first time because they don't have an Xbox, they don't have a PlayStation 5. So, look, Nintendo's really pushing that hard, you notice, during the Summer Game Fest. And I think we're going to get to see a lot more conversation of Nintendo pushing third-party content from the Switch 2, you know? So
yeah, but...
Yeah, I mean, $500 is still expensive.
But I mean, look, I mean, this is something about you. I know you mentioned about Xbox. Sorry, I said it, Mike. But, like, Xbox Series S is a very cheap console compared to everything else now, right?
I know.
They're not promoting that. That's something I'm like, take advantage of that.
I think they see the telemetry and they're like, that's the story we tell on that. People like go okay. First of all, I know I'm getting the less powerful thing, and I understand that. That doesn't feel good. And it's like we could tell people it doesn't matter. Most games are going to run fine on there. You're not going to notice. But people just don't like the way that feels. And then it's not like, well, that, and then you're done. You still have to buy all the games, and they're also getting more expensive for the most. I mean, the ones that like that you see on TV or whatever, that whenever a commercial does run, I don't. It feels as gloomy as it kind of can.
But here's the thing, though, and I apologize.
No, you're good.
There's been multiple games this year that's been selling a lot. So what is the issue right now?
The demand is still there. I mean, yeah. Like we saw, like, when the prices on these consoles did go up the week before the prices got enacted, the consoles sold a ton because people are like, oh, I actually really do want this. And yeah. The hardware was already expensive. And so the demand is there, but it's like we keep trying to see where the line is. And it's like that's just not the recipe for growth.
I think people are being more selective than ever on what they're going to spend their money on. And that's why I'm glad to see a game like Mina the Hollower cheap, right? $20. Make it easy, accessible for everybody. Look, I had this conversation with somebody at an event. Look, I grew up in an era where I couldn't afford multiple consoles. I was technically poor, I guess, right? But
it wasn't technically.
Well, yeah. But you get what I'm saying? Like, it was hard for me to buy everything, right? Make it easy for people that can't afford these games. Make it cheaper or think. I think that will create a good buzz, having a good price. It will create news. People will talk about it. You know, it will go around.
And it would be celebrated.
Exactly. We had a discussion during Giant Bomb. We were a guest and we were all talking about everything that's happening in the industry. But I said, and you were part of the discussion too, Ree, we can't go after the same people. We have to figure out different ways to promote and talk about these games that we worked on and so on, right? To a new group of people that have never heard of it. And if we continue to just going after the same crowd where everybody else is trying to do too, I feel like the industry overall is not going to grow. It's not going to grow. I think it's not going to be enough, especially now with all these changes and layoffs and everything just getting expensive. We have to have this serious conversation. Like, what else we could do to change this discussion?
Let's make it better.
Change the industry. Make it better. Exactly. Exactly.
Let's make it better.
I think it is important for us to have the discussion. Like, hey, so and so studio layoffs and closure and all this stuff. I think it is important to talk about that. But also, we also have to figure out a discussion of like solutions or things for us to make the industry better. You know, back in the 80s, there was a video game crash, right? And, you know, I feel like at that time, people lost hope on buying games because everything was just trashy at that time, right? But then,
the quality was not as good as it is today.
It wasn't. But then, yeah, but then you have a company like Nintendo and Sega and other newer companies that came out during that time to release new products. And the industry changed. Now you not only get the gamers coming back and buying these products, but now you're getting mainstream audience, a whole new group of people that are buying these products for the first time. So I think right now it is temporary. I feel like this is temporary, and we're eventually we're going to find something in a solution to solve everything that's happening now. But I think it's just important to have these type of conversation what we're just having right now, Ree. You know, a lot of people are not doing that, you know?
Yeah.
Well, these type of conversation, I mean.
And I'm not going to tell other people what to talk about, but I do want to see more, not toxic positivity, but solutions, hope, suggestions, ways forward, instead of circling rumor mills, first of all, and also negative news. Like, yes, acknowledge it. We want to support the people who are impacted by things like studio closures and reductions in force. But what I would gravitate more towards, who's making it better? Who's working to fix things? Who's offering solutions? Who's forging new paths, creating new models? Like, that's what I want to see more of. And I know there are so many smart people who are so capable out here, and I hope that they get to work on fixing these problems.
Yeah. Yeah. I know it's been discouraging for the past couple of years of like everything that's been seeing in the industry, but there is hope. I think there is something that's going to come up that we're going to go back and innovate and make these changes. And I think people are going to get new jobs, and it's going to happen eventually. Right now, we're just in a very dark period in not only in the country, in the world, but in our industries, like different industries, not only in gaming, but uh-huh. film and so on. But I think we're going to figure things out, man. I think we will eventually. But we have to stick together and help as much as we can of their, you know, share if there's any job opportunities for other people or like different things, you know. There's different ways for us to support and spread that positive vibe and so on, you know. So
yeah, bring more people to the party. Yeah. Try your best mm-hmm. to support things that you care about.
Agreed. Anything else, Ree?
That's it.
You feeling a lot better now that everything is out?
There's some stuff I can't say, but yeah. I know we're doing our part to make it better. And I just want to see more people step up in that way. Like, we're not helpless. We're not totally helpless. So help each other, please.
People, I know Ree's trying to say, and we can't say just yet because we're not 100% ready to talk about it, but we're doing something to help our industry. We're doing something. We don't talk. We're actually making moves behind the scenes. And it's not only our industry, but also people that need that support. Mm-hmm. It's coming. You will see what we're talking about in the future. we'll talk about it, you know, eventually. But I'm excited. I see hope. All right, so we're going to wrap it up here. I think that's a great way to end it, right? A little positivity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm hopeful.
Yes, yes. So everyone, thank you so much for listening to Gamertag Radio. And please share this content if you like it. Make sure to let other people know about the show and about this discussion. We would love to hear your thoughts. If you're listening on any podcast app and there's an option to post a comment, please post it there. If you're watching this on YouTube, on our YouTube channel, Gamertag Radio, post your comments there, questions, agree, disagree. It's all good. Let's just have this serious conversation.
Yeah, I would love to see it.
And we'll talk about it on the next episode, Ree, right? In the future episode.
Sure.
We'll talk about it. All right, so we're going to wrap it up here. Everyone, thank you for listening. Until next time, we're out. Bye.
Bye.